Several years ago, back in Richmond, Virginia, there's a certain exit off of the downtown expressway where if you took it at just the right place, you made a right turn, and then you took a left turn down into a quiet area that would eventually pull you into the downtown area. And set up in this little area, off to the left-hand side, sits a man every day about the same time of day, looking the same way, with the same brown cardboard sign and message. And maybe you've seen this kind of sign. It looks something like this. Anything helps. Anything will help. God bless. And right next to it is a little plastic cup or something to collect the money that's tossed out the left driver's side window as people pass by. So having seen this individual a number of times and having spoken with members of our congregation and members of our community who would take this same exit and go down this same route and who had engaged this same individual, over time we started to hear this story and this narrative and this feedback. This guy does really well sitting exactly where he is, using his sign and putting out something to collect money. At a certain point in time, he was engaged by somebody who wanted to hear more of his story, and the story was very interesting. His story was just this. He was not disabled. He was not handicapped in any way. Very able-bodied, very functional, fully able to be employed in a number of places. And so the question was this. So why are you here? And do you know what the response was? Why not? I'm making a good living, doing exactly what I'm doing, being exactly where I am at this time and in this place. Talk about an arresting revelation. For the man, he saw no need to break away from where he was, didn't see the need to look any other place. Why? Because he was set up really well. And if you were to ask him the question of, do you need something to change in your life? Do you need to be healed? Have something different happen to you to bring you to a new season? His response would be this. No. No, this is just fine. In our gospel lesson today from John chapter 5, we see Jesus engage this man who's in a physical state where he's not able to move about as many of us are. And Jesus poses to him a very curious question. And I don't know if you've read this passage before or if today was your first time, but Jesus' question is kind of a curious question, isn't it? Because in John chapter 5, Jesus comes to this area where all these folks are lounging and resting around this pool, hoping and waiting for a change, something to come along and break them out of the cycle, the monotony of the day after day after day, of not being able to walk, not being able to move, maybe not being able to see or to hear, and so on. And so Jesus comes up to this guy who's been in this place for 38 years, this physical place, and he asks this question, do you want to get well? I don't know how you would feel, but if I'm on the receiving end of that question, it kind of strikes me as a Captain Obvious moment. Have you ever seen those commercials on TV where there's a situation that just, yeah, this is crystal clear, black and white. You don't need to unpack it any further. It's obvious. You go outside and it's snowing and the temperature is dropping and the wind is racing through Fort Wayne. And someone comes up to you and says, looks cold outside. And you're like, yeah, thanks, Captain Obvious. Or you're having a tough day, and your body language shows it. You're slumped forward. You're not making any eye contact with anybody. You don't want to talk to anybody. You don't want to be around anybody. And someone comes up to you and says, oh, must be having a hard day, huh? And you're like, yeah, Captain Obvious. Thanks a lot. I can't help but wonder how this man received Jesus' question. He's been in this physical state for over 30 years, 38 years, and then Jesus comes to him in this place and says, do you want to get well? Doesn't it beg a response of, yeah? It's taking a look at this situation and knowing some of the cultural nuances of the day, there's a couple reasons in a couple different places where this man might actually say, I'm kind of okay where I'm at. Believe it or not, this was actually a lucrative place to be. Because when you're in this place and you kind of look how you look and you kind of have your hand out or you have your station set up with your cardboard sign, it solicits some kind of feedback, some compassion, some showings of mercy and grace. And so for some in Jesus' day, this actually became a very good business, believe it or not. So the attitude would be, why break away from this? I'm set up really good. I'm making some good cash flow. Maybe you need to find somebody else. But there's also a part of me that wonders if this man had come to a different place in life, and maybe you know the place. The place where you start to lose a little bit of your will, and maybe you start to lose a little bit of your hope. And maybe just maybe you are looking for a change, but you don't know where it's going to come from. And you don't know how it's going to come. And you don't know when it's going to come. And if that's swirling around your life like a Midwest tornado, then maybe just maybe you feel rooted and anchored and shackled to that place. And you start to feel like you're losing your hope. And you start to tell yourself, if no one else is telling it to you, you tell it to yourself, I feel stuck. I wonder if some of us feel stuck this morning. And maybe you're not sitting around a pool waiting for a handout. Maybe you don't have a cardboard sign next to a downtown expressway by a residential area that leads to a downtown corridor where you're looking for people to throw change your direction. But maybe, just maybe, because of things that are going on in your life or the things that are swirling around you, maybe today you feel stuck. Do you feel stuck? Wondering if the help is going to come, wondering who would bring the help if there was help to bring, and wondering when the timestamp on that was going to be. Do you feel stuck? See, I wonder sometimes if God's people feel stuck. And in those moments, I wonder if we start to look to all the wrong areas and all the wrong people to get us unstuck. Do you resonate with that? So here's this guy. He's been in this situation for 38 years. And for 38 years, I don't know how many times, probably lost count, how many times he's positioned himself strategically by this pool because he believes that something is happening in this water. And if he can just get down into the water, it will change his life forever. But his response is just this: someone always beats me to it. So here I lie. Same old, same old. Sun still scorches my face. People still walk past. People still turn the other direction. I sit here day after day waiting for my turn. And whether he's able to admit it or not to himself or to anybody else, he's really waiting for someone to do for him what he could never do for himself. Do you see that? If it wasn't obvious after the first year, it probably started to sink in at year 5, year 10, year 15, year 20, year 25, year 30, and so on. I'm stuck. Maybe some of you this week, you feel stuck. You feel stuck at work because of things going on. Things haven't changed. People haven't changed their dynamics. The same expectations are being thrown on you. You got deadlines to meet. You got things to do. You got people to help, and you feel stuck. Or maybe at school, you have these friendships, and boy, they've been this way, and then they've been this way, then they've been this way, then they're on, and they're off, they're hot, they're cold, and you feel stuck. Maybe in your other relationships, your family, your friends, your significant other, you feel like you've come to an impasse, and you've tried. You've tried, you really have. You've prayed, you've put in the time, you've read the books, you've talked to other resources, but you feel stuck. And so here you are. You're waiting for somebody to do for you what you could never do for yourself. Does that describe your season of life? See, maybe God's people don't have to be in the exact same situation as this man, but maybe, just maybe, sometimes God's people wrestle with this idea and this feeling of, I am stuck. And now I need someone to do for me what I could never do for myself. But who's going to do it? For this guy, he's focused on the wrong place. He's so focused on this pool that he thinks he needs to get into that when the healer himself comes into his life, he completely misses Jesus. Did you catch that? Jesus shows up and he is full of grace, and boy, he has healing to give. And in this exchange, the man brings this up. Well, I got to get in the water. But if he only knew who was there. So focused on the wrong place that he missed Jesus. I wonder if you can resonate with a comment on the screens behind me. I can. Maybe you have a different variation of it, but for me, it goes something like this. God, I focused on the wrong place, the wrong person, the wrong season, the wrong time, the wrong stuff, and in the process, I missed Jesus and his word for my life. I've been asking and praying for help, and boy, God was willing to bring it, and I said, no, I'm looking over here. Maybe someone else needs that. Thanks. Have you been focused in the wrong place, on the wrong person, on the wrong stuff, on the wrong substance, on the wrong, to the point where you've missed Jesus and his word for you? Is it possible that God has been attempting to bring healing into your life in some area, but because you've been focused in the wrong area, you missed it? Sometimes that happens, doesn't it? God and his grace comes to us with that healing we've been praying for, and maybe it doesn't look like what we've expected, but it comes. It comes. But because we're looking for the wrong thing, the wrong person, the wrong stuff, the wrong outcome, we completely miss it, don't we? Jesus comes to this guy, and once again, the question, take it how you will. But if I was there for 38 years in this situation of feeling stuck and starting to feel hopeless and wondering what could and what if and who could, I would take Jesus' question of, do you want to get well, as, I do, but. And this is Jesus' response. And it's interesting how in the scriptures, Jesus responds to a faith statement. Jesus, I believe you can do this. Healing. Jesus, I believe that you could restore, and he does. Jesus, I believe that you can forgive, and he does. But in this moment, did you notice? Jesus doesn't wait for some kind of response out of this person. Jesus recognizes that this guy is stuck. I mean, he is stuck. Physically, yes. Emotionally, probably. But spiritually, absolutely. Because without Jesus, he's got nothing. So Jesus does what Jesus always does, and what he does for you and for me. He takes the initiative. He doesn't wait for the, well, let me think about it, or I need to process it. I need to do some kind of religious dissertation first. I need to, Jesus just says, get up, take your mat, and go. Thus the power of God's word in his life, but also in your life and in mine. Jesus does for this man what he could never, ever do for himself. And you know something? That should get us thinking about something else. What Jesus does for you and for me, what we could never, ever do for ourselves. Pay a debt we could never pay. Provide the support we could never, ever secure ourselves. Conquer sin, conquer death, conquer the devil, die, but then come back 3 days later. Who can do that for you and for me but Jesus Christ? So with this man, we see another glimpse, and if you would, a foreshadowing of what Jesus does for all of us. He does for you and for me what we can never do for ourselves. Why? Because he loves you. Because he doesn't want you to be stuck anymore. Because he doesn't want you to keep glancing the horizon or the mail or the religious situation or relationship situation for something else other than Jesus Christ. Be stuck no more. Today we have the opportunity to celebrate something pretty special. And it's known by a number of different things, the sacrament of Holy Communion, the Eucharist, Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper. But the reality is just this. Because Jesus Christ doesn't want you to be stuck where you are. Because Jesus Christ wants to do for you what you can never do for yourself, he meets you here today with his body and his blood. How cool is that? See, sometimes Jesus comes to us with that same question, doesn't he? Do you want to get well? And our response is, stiff arm, Jesus, somebody else. I'm comfortable where I'm at. Find somebody else. See, sometimes we can get really comfortable in our sin, don't we? I got it all together. It's okay. Just leave me alone. But the cool thing is just this. Despite what your attitude's been this week, despite what my attitude's been this week, despite where you've been looking for hope, Jesus comes to you today with hope, and it's only through him. And so we recognize today, as we come up for communion, the reality is this: come as you are, but don't leave as you were. Please. Come as you are, but don't leave as you were. After Jesus comes to this man and he heals him, we notice a little bit later that Jesus follows up with him. And if you read it once again in your gospel lesson printed for you today, you see this: Jesus challenges him to stop sinning. In other words, don't cheapen the grace. Friends, if you've been involved in something you shouldn't, don't go back to it this week. If you've been caught up in an attitude that is toxic, leave it here at the rail or at the step. If God has been reaching out to you with his gracious, scarred hands so that you would be unstuck, don't push the hand away by going back to where you've been this week. Do you want to get well? Then come and be with Jesus. Here's his word for you. Come as you are, but don't leave as you were. Let's pray.